Okay, this week's Sedra, Parshas Lech Lecha, is a famous question that is asked, bothers many of the Meforshim. We have Avraham Avinu following Hashem's command, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, he goes there, it's Canaan, and he gets there, Vayira Baretz, there's a drought, and Avraham decides he can't stay anymore, and he leaves, and he goes to Mitzrayim. So, what does Avraham tell his wife Sarah? See that you're a beautiful woman. They're going to say, hey, look at this beautiful woman. And they're going to say, let's kill her husband. That was me, Avraham. They're going to kill me and they're going to take you. So therefore, I have an idea. So go tell everybody that you're my sister. In order that Laman Yitavli, they'll do good for me. People will do good for me. And V'chaysa Nafshibin, because of you, I'll stay alive. So the very difficult Rashi over here. Rashi says three words. What does it mean, Laman Yitavli Baburech? Yitnu li matanos. Tell them that you're my sister, so that they'll give me gifts. Right? It seems very strange that Avraham over here is desiring gifts. I want to give different explanations. How does he assume to get gifts? One of the Rishonim say that the idea is he's going to, auction her off. This one's going to give this, this one's going to give, we're going to give more in order to, they're going to give him all kinds of things. But Stamazoi, it's like a setup, seems like he's setting this up so that he can get all these gifts. It was very difficult. Why? Because we know, Chazal say, Sone Matanas Yichye. Right? That somebody who loves gifts, who doesn't love gifts, who hates gifts, will live. And someone who loves gifts, Mashmah, won't live. So it's a negative thing to take and want gifts. So what is Avraham Avinu doing over here? Tell them you're a sister. In other words, he could have said, tell them you don't know me. Right, I'm a stranger, or I'm a neighbor, whatever. He could have said, no, doctor, tell me I'm your brother, because therefore they'll give me gifts, and I want gifts. So, okay, so we'll see. So first of all, with the difficulty in general, what's he wanting gifts? For as we say, sonim atanis yichi, a person shouldn't want gifts, but we see it gets more sticky as we go along. Another source we have over here is that later on, Avraham, in fact, Pharaoh comes along, he takes this woman, she's a beautiful woman, and takes her. And it says over here that the story goes on, Pharaoh takes her, but Hashem punishes him, and his malach comes with his whip, and he whips Pharaoh so that he doesn't touch her. And the next morning, he sends Avram away. Vayikra paro la Avram, vayomer mazo, says, what'd you do to me? Why didn't you tell me that this is your wife? So, lama marta, why did you say that she's your sister? Vakachot ali, that now, take your wife, kach valech. What does kach valech mean? So the Panim Yafa says that once again, he says, kach valech means take gifts. So he explains it. Kach valech, take and go. Take what? Take gifts and go. So, what does Avraham do? Oh, wonderful! Another opportunity to take more gifts! And Avraham takes gifts. As we know, that when he left, he was very wealthy. As it says, Avraham kaved meod, mamikne, bekesev uvazav. He was very heavy, he was loaded down, literally, with gold, silver, whatever. He was getting all these gifts that he got. So, first of all, we said, it's a little bit difficult that what he's doing wanting gifts. However, we got two other problems. Another problem is, the Meforshim point out, that later on in the Parsha, when Avraham goes and he saves the Lot, right? So Melech Storm says to Avraham, Ten li anechef esh v'rachush kachlach. Give me the souls, the people, and you can take the possessions. What does Avraham say? No, harimosi adi el Hashem el yon kanesh amayim v'aretz. I'm not going to take anything, nothing. Right below Tamar, I want you to, for you to be able to say that I made Avram rich. I want nothing. So, what's going on over here? One place, Avram's give me gifts, then he's taking gifts from Pharaoh, and then Sodom, Melchstom's offering gifts, all of a sudden, he doesn't want gifts. And what's more, which makes it is the grand finale, which not too many Mefarshim point out, there's a small little Rashi here, in later on, maybe that's why the Mefarshim don't merit so much over here, but in Parshas Chayei Sarah, at the end, there's a Rashi which totally is not understood, that makes this whole thing by us not understood at least. It says that, that Avram Avinu gave to the sons of his Pilag, he married Hagar again later on, and at the end over here, and name was Keturah, and he gave them gifts, it says. He gave them gifts. Natan Avraham Matanot. So Rashi says, what are these gifts that he gave the children of Keturah? Mashenitin lo alodot Sara. Ushar matanot shenasnulo. He gave away all the things that were given to him, A, because of Sarah, like we saw at the beginning, right? He told them, you're my sister, so I'll get these matanot. He gave them these matanot that he got because of Sarah, and other gifts that also were given to him. Hakol natan lehem. He gave it all away. Why? Shelo ratzal lehanot mehem. He didn't want to get pleasure from them. Rashi says here. But what's going on? They'll give me gifts. He wants to get one gifts. He gets the gifts. He goes, oh, take away all these gifts. I don't want any hana from them. Well, what's going on? Is he wants gifts? He doesn't want the gifts. He's taken from this one, not taken from this one. The whole thing needs an explanation. So, I heard generally from Rav Shlomo Levinstein, Shlita. So he wants to say like this, that the answer of all these seeming contradictions is this one simple idea. That what concerned Avraham was one thing, and that was Kfot Shemayim, right? To make a Kiddush Hashem, and not the opposite, Chilul Hashem. Right? That was Avraham's main concern in his life, and therefore, that can explain his actions over here. How so? Avraham comes to Canaan. And what Hashem says, go there, he comes there, and what happens? There's a drought. So what were people saying? He says, ah, you see that? Here, where's your God? You know, is your God? Because because of you, there's no water over here. You and your God, right? So Avraham said, Chilul Hashem. I gotta, they think it's not raining because of me and my God, right? So problem of Kfot Shemayim. So what does he do? He says, I'm gonna show them it's not the case. And what does he do? He leaves Canaan, goes to Mitzrayim, where everything's fine, there's water and everything, to show them, you see, it has nothing to do with me and my God, because here I'm going to another place, and there is water, in order to avoid the Chilul Hashem. That's one example. So now, so Avraham, he goes to Mitzrayim, but he has another problem on his hands that he has to deal with, and that is, that he was also, before this, a very poor man. Okay? And when he was in Eretz Canaan, he came with nothing. And also, shtickel, Chilul Hashem, quote unquote. What were they saying, people? This great God of yours, Abraham? So how come you're so poor? How come you're a pauper? Where's all So, he wasn't happy with the name that Hashem was being given over here. And he wanted to, sometime, show them that it's not true. Again, in order to do Kfot Shemayim. So, here is his opportunity. That's why when he got to Mitzrayim, he wanted to get gifts. Not because he wants to enjoy the gifts, and we saw later on, he gave them all away. But he wanted to show the people that, again, God is great. You might start off poor, but then Hashem takes care of you and everything's fine. So therefore, he wanted to, again, answer up the people, and that, the questions that they had on God, that, where's your God? No, I have a God, you'll see. One day he'll make me rich. And sure enough, he did. And it's interesting, because actually the gematria of Kaved Meod, we said that Avram left, he was Kaved Meod, but Kesuzav, what's the gematria of Kaved? Kaf is 20. Bet is 2, and Dalet is 4. That's 26. What's 26? The name of God, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Then Hashem made me rich. You see, in the end, I came back kaved meod. God made me rich. This also explains why, when it came to Paro, that night when he took Sarah and he was whipped or whatever, and he gave Abraham money the next day. Okay, he took the gifts. Why? Because this was a golden opportunity. This was a golden opportunity to show who his God really is. Why? Because a miracle happened. What happened? Here, Paro took Sarah, and these Malachim greyhounds are whipping Paro so he wouldn't touch Sarah. It's a pretty big miracle, right? Now, Paro wasn't interested in, publicizing this miracle at all, right? But Abraham was, because he says, hey, it's a great opportunity. Like, this is, showing the power of God and, doing this miracle. So therefore, when Paro gave him gifts, he hopped on it. Great. I'll take these gifts. I'll have all this money. People are going to say, where did you get all this money from? Paro gave it to me. Paro, why did Paro give you? Just like that, Paro doesn't give people gifts. Oh, a tremendous thing happened. And, he tells him the whole story of how Sarah was taken, and that, and because of that, to appease us, he gave me the gifts. So here was, again, a golden opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem, and therefore, he, Dafka, made a point of accepting the gifts from Paro. So whenever, to make a Kiddush Hashem, he took, and in fact, there's an interesting shot, they say when Rashi brings it down, that when he came back from Mitzrayim back to Canaan, he went back to the same hotels on his way. It says, Rashi says, in order to pay back the money he owed, what he owed. Whatever he owed, he paid. So there's two ways you can understand it, literally and figuratively. Literally is, he paid back the money that he owed. Now, he didn't have money to pay for the hotels, but now he had the money, so now he paid them back. But you can also understand it figuratively. That is, he owed, what did he owe? He owed an explanation to these people. Because again, wherever he'd go to these hotels, he says, poor pauper, you're talking about this one God of yours. What kind of a God is this? He leaves you as a pauper. So he had to come and answer. He had to answer it. Oh, don't worry, Hashem will take care of me. Oh yeah? I don't believe it. So now, coming back from Yisrael, Dafka went to the same places. Now he's all rich. He goes, wow, you were right. God really did take care of you. Kiddush Hashem. And that's what the pshat is, and he paid back his debts. They're the physical debts that he owed, and also the debts that he owed the people, the claims that they were against God. Now he had an opportunity to answer them up. And then, so that's why, but all this money was only for these purposes, and therefore later on, just gave it away to the B'nai Apilek sheep. He didn't want the money for the money's sake. He took it to make a Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, by Melech Stom, when he offered the money, at this point, there was no need to take the money. That's going to do anything for him or whatever. So he says, it's going to make a Chilul Hashem that you're going to walk around saying, I made Avram rich and it was me and not your God, whatever. So then he says, that type of money I don't want. I don't need what I need the money for. I don't need the money. It was only earlier on when we said he needed it to answer up the times that people had against him and against God. That gives it a picture. So there's... Nogea to us, we have to take this inyan to heart as well, right? To try to make as much as we can a Kiddush Hashem in this world. I'll share with you a couple of stories. They're once here in Israel, they have these programs where they like Consumer Report type thing, where they want to test these different companies out and see if they're honest. So they took a woman living by herself, an older woman, and they went into her apartment, and they took one of her electrical appliances and opened up the plug and moved the wires around a little bit, and then they plugged it in, which caused a short in the house, right, and the whole electricity went off. They planted hidden cameras, and they told her, we want you now to call 3 electricians and see what they have to say. You have to say. So, fine. And there was hidden cameras, right, to see, and the people were behind the scenes, nobody can tell. So sure enough, she calls, fine, first electrician comes, he walks in, she says, oh, I don't know what to do, look, I have no electricity yet. So what does the guy do? He doesn't check, doesn't look, he just looks around, he goes, oh, yeah. I say, oh, yeah, this is a major problem here, lady. And he says, but I'll take care of the problem, 3,000 shekels. says, 3,000 shekels? Yeah, it's not so simple. It's a very serious problem over here. He doesn't even check anything. He's like, 3,000 shekels. So he says, okay, I'm having another, guy coming over. I want to get another estimate. Another guy comes over, and another electrician. He comes in, and he says, yeah, what's the problem? So he says, look, lights went out. Don't know what happened. So he looked a little bit into the, opened the electric box. He goes, oh, yeah, you got yourself problems over here. But I could take care of it, 2,500 shekels, I'll take care of it. It's 2,500 shekels. So he says, okay, for you, I'll give you a discount, 2,300. 2,300, but I have to make some money. I mean, what can I do? I mean, I can't do anything less than that. She goes, oh, okay, whatever. So finally, a third opinion. The third opinion, who walks in? From electrician. So he walks into the house, and she says, oh, I don't know, my electricity went out. So what did he say? He says, okay, one second, lady. He goes, before the lights went out, what was the last thing you did? So she says, well, I plugged in my toaster, whatever. Right? She says, okay, so let's check your toaster. He goes to the toaster. He takes the plug. He opens it up, and he sees that the wires are touching, whatever. He goes, that's your problem. He fixes the wires, puts it in, whatever. There, puts goes electric box, turns up the switch. Boom, everything's fine. So she goes, wow, how'd you do that so fast? But that was nothing. It was just your appliance here. The wires got a little messed up. No problem. He goes, oh, boy, thank you so much. How much do I owe you? So he says, it's 180 shekels. So she goes, oh, wow, that's good. Yeah, fine. So she says, okay, very good. He's about to leave, and then the crew comes out from behind the door. Says, okay, nobody move. Says, what's going on? He says, okay, this was a setup. We had the cameras, whatever. And, so all of a sudden, these guys were like, Busha, He says, so what's the shot? You're at 3,000 shekels. I never said 3,000 shekels. I don't know what you're talking about. The first guy says, but they had it on film. It's all on film. He couldn't, play the film. And the guy's like, Busha Becherpa. The second guy also is like, first it wasn't, I never said, I didn't mean that. It was like black and white. And then they went to the third guy, the firm guy, and they said, Lakura, you could have also done that. This woman doesn't know anything. You could have also made it. How come you just think? So he looks and goes, Chasam Shalom. He says, how can I? He says, there's a God in Shemaim looking down and recording and seeing everything I do. How can I cheat like that, right? There's a God looking at over here. I can't just do what I want. And they're like, wow, impressed, And they said another thing, don't you usually take like for a visit like 200 shekels? Like how come you took less? She says, you're right, electricians always take around 200 shekels for a visit, no matter what they do, so the call. But as soon as I walked in, I thought that this woman, doesn't live in such a high class thing, and I wanted to give her a little break, so that's why I only charged her 180, whatever it was. Right, so they were like so impressed. Wow, gave her a discount and he fixed it. They're trying to cheat her, and it's all because he says, there's a God up there and he's seeing everything, and you you can't pull shtick. And they're very impressed, and they publicize it, and they the program, they everybody saw this. That's a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Right, so that's you never know when the cameras are on you, but the cameras are always on you, and that's going to be our whole lives are going to be played back in the next world. Yes, we'll end with that. Just reminded me of another mice similar, and this with the camera. That there was once the guy, he had a store, and he had a problem that once his safe was broken into. So they had a chashash who might be or whatever, but they couldn't they couldn't put their hand on. They asked a certain guy, and he goes, no, I don't know anything about it, whatever. So he had an idea, a simple idea. He put a camera, a hidden camera. So sure enough, again, the safe got broken into a while later, but this time it was all on film. And they called. He looked at the video and he saw exactly who he thought it was—the guy, with the sledgehammer, wham, knocking down the safe. So he called the guy in, and he said, do you know who broke into my safe? No, no idea. I have no idea. You weren't around. No, why are you asking me? And that, what you have no, nothing. Then. you know, cuts the lights off, projector goes on, and sitting there with his big hammer, wham, wham, right? Right, you can imagine is the bush on the cherpa. Right, so they say that Maisa, it's the same thing that we have to, you know, be careful of, right? If we don't make a Kiddush Hashem, then in the next world, that's what's going to happen. We go after 120 years, the lights go out, and what are you going to say? And it's right there, black and white. You know, like the Chafetz Chaim says, that a lot of the inventions that of the world, you know, as time goes on, with all kinds of these inventions, they're for our benefit, that helps us realize what, you know, that it's not so far-fetched what's going to happen after 120 years. Like before, tape recorders and projectors and all these things, it's like, something I say is going to, you know, it's gone, I said, and who knows, how am I going to be responsible for what I said? I said something now, what's going to happen after 120 years? But now, once they, you know, they invented tape recorders, and now all of it, it's not so big deal. 100 years later, you can hear what a person said, right? Or when they invented the telephone, I'm talking here on the other side of the world. What? They're hearing Shemayim what I'm talking about? So now you can talk from here, so I'm going to hear the other side of the world what you're talking about. No big deal. So it makes it more real to you. Right? And of course, all the more so, you know, videos or whatever, Ramesh, with the sound, with live, you know, in action, color, see everything you do. So that in the next world is going to be a video of your life that's not so far-fetched, because we can relate to it now. Anyway, so that's, we have to take the heart to try to make a Kiddush Hashem in all our actions. And if we do so, Mirz Hashem, we'll see a lot of bracha tzlacha, and in this world and in the next. And Hashem should be good to us and bring us the coming of the Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.